If you haven't tried Super Beet Soft Chews, you are missing out. Super Beet Soft Chews are a delicious snack you can take on the go and support your heart health. Super Beets Chews combine non-GMO beets with a powerful new ingredient, grapeseed extract. The grapeseed extract used in Super Beet Soft Chews has been clinically shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure as a healthy lifestyle alone. Better blood pressure means more energy, the way nature intended, without the jittery caffeine or stimulants. Now you can take just 2 delicious chews a day, anytime, anywhere, to get the blood pressure support you need and the energy you want. Do what I did and support your heart health with delicious Super Beets Chews. Get your Super Beets Chews today at danasbeets.com, and when you buy 2 bags, they'll throw in the third for free. That's danasbeets.com to get a free bag of Super Beets Soft Chews when you purchase 2. danasbeets.com.
You mentioned the mask, that you wore a mask yesterday. President Trump went to a Memorial Day service. He did not wear a mask. It's not just some people making fun of you. He did. He did on Twitter. He retweeted a photo of you wearing it. He's trying to belittle you for wearing a mask, making it seem like it's a sign of weakness. Is it?
He's a fool. An absolute fool to talk that way. I mean, every leading doc in the world is saying we should wear a mask when you're in a crowd. And especially when you know you're going to be in a position where you're going to inadvertently get closer than 12 feet to somebody. I know we're 12 feet apart, I get that. But it's
like
just absolutely
it's like
this macho stuff for a guy. Well, I shouldn't get going, but it just is. It's cost people's lives.
So that's dumb. Hi, welcome to the show, Dana Lash. It was something, by the way, we're going to jump into this, but something super historic is happening right now because we're about to go get them aliens. Not really, but you know what I mean, in Cape Canaveral, Florida. So Florida, not only do they have Florida Man, which is amazing, but now they get to do fun stuff like this too. So I'm a little jealous today. Welcome to the show, DanaLash.com, at DLash on the Twitters, official Dana Lash on Facebook. It's a it's SpaceX, it's NASA, and they're getting ready to send 2 astronauts to the International Space Station, which is super sweet. And apparently they all went into the room where the Apollo mission was launched, where, you know, that movie where they set the dudes up and, you know, it was Tom Hanks and they had to like MacGyver some things out of like rubber band and a straw. It's amazing. But they done did it. And now here we're sending up some folks to the ISS, which is sweet. That's extreme social distancing happening right now. So that's kind of cool. So we're following that, because how often do you ever get to see stuff like this, right? That's really cool that this is happening. So I'm all about it. If your kids are not watching it, what are you doing? Make your children watch this. I told my one child that I would take his phone, and I'll leave it at that. I would confiscate his phone if he did not watch this, because it's historic. It's incredibly cool. You don't get to watch stuff like this. And this inspires an interest in space and tech in a lot of kids. All right, so I got to talk about the mask thing. We're gonna keep watching the space stuff. Believe. We're going to keep watching. So that was Dana Bash with CNN talking to former VP Joe Biden. And it sounded ridiculous. And I don't dislike her. I just thought that question particularly was silly. And he's making fun of you, saying that it makes you... What I have the transcript at danalash.com. She said, it's not just some people making fun of you. He did. And he's trying to belittle you for wearing a mask, making it seem like a sign of weakness. Is it? Okay, first off, he was not making fun of him necessarily. He's making fun of the mask, because the cloth mask is stupid. The cloth mask is the same thing as having a football bat. We mute things in here in the studio, son. The cloth mask is just like having a football bat. It is completely... It's like having an additional orifice on your rear. It is completely unhelpful. In fact, the second one, actually, that last thing I said might actually be more helpful than the cloth mask.
Really?
And for some people, it gives them another way to speak.
Oh.
I know. That's just loaded with bad mom jokes. It's bad. So the bottom line is that maybe, just maybe, he's making fun of the fact that he's wearing a cloth mask. And I said this on Twitter, that the president was alluding to this preening sanctimony of wearing cloth masks specifically that were studied. Would you like to read the studies? I have them so helpfully linked for you at danalash.com. I provide a service, nay, a treasure.
Amen.
Thank you. so glad that everyone recognizes the hard work we do here. But they were studied to be and proven to be wholly, entirely, and unequivocally ineffective. Totally ineffective. They are no more than face diapers. Might as well put a maxi pad on your mouth, because that actually, I think, might be more helpful. Honestly, get the wings version. I think that might actually be way more helpful than this. They prevent nothing. They stop nothing. They do nothing. It is the physical manifestation of virtue signaling. Now, I have helpfully linked for you the National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health. And they say that following a recommendation that cloth masks be explored for use in healthcare settings during the next influenza pandemic, the National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health conducted a study of the filter performance on clothing materials and articles, including commercial cloth masks marketed for air pollution and allergen sweatshirts, t-shirts, and scarves. They say, blah, 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 they're worthless. That's pretty much what they said. They explain how N95 respirators, they literally have efficiencies greater than 95%, which is why they're called N95s. Cloth masks do nothing. They say that all of the cloth masks, and this is literally the direct quote, all of the cloth masks and materials had zero efficiency. And they say basically just an average particle size can easily penetrate into the lungs. Yeah. Would you like to read one from BMJ? Quote, results. The rates of all infection outcomes were highest in the cloth mask arm, with the rate of something I don't know statistically significantly higher in the cloth mask arm. They said that penetration of cloth masks by particles was almost 97%. Now, the little surgical masks, those are about 44. So those are helpful, right? But the cloth masks are worthless. They're worthless. Just take a sock and a rubber band and put it on your face long ways and put the rubber band around it. Do it like that. That will do it. That will work. The Annals of Internal Medicine, quote, neither surgical nor cotton masks effectively filtered SARS-CoV-2 during coughs by infected patients. Prior evidence that surgical masks effectively filtered influenza virus informed recommendations that patients with confirmed or suspected COVID-19 should wear face masks to prevent transmission. However, the cloth masks are lame. Same thing. I have like six other studies. Will you want to finish just the hour just going into them? Or do you get the point? They're worthless. They're stupid. Biden was wearing a cloth mask. The one that did nothing, as all of these studies have said, do nothing. Scientifically proven ineffective cloth mask. He was lying to you by wearing it. And that's what gets me the most. He's preening and he's all sanctimonious because look at me putting on my totally worthless cloth mask. It does absolutely nothing. It does nothing. It does male copulatory organ. That's what it does. Wow. Nothing. Wow. You know what? I feel strongly about this because it's a form of psychological conditioning. Now, the N95's totally on board. If I see someone out in public wearing an N95, I want to go and purchase a greeting card for them. I want to go and purchase it and sign it and say, way to go. You did it right. And hand this to them. Because they're doing it correctly. If you're going to virtue signal, go whole hog, right? Like, wear a mask that actually works. I would actually take way more judgment from someone wearing an N95 mask than I would from someone wearing a dumb cloth one. Like if someone was like giving me judgy eyes for standing in line at the supermarket and I didn't wear no mask and they had a mask on, but they had a cloth mask and they were giving me judgy eyes. No, Karen, not today. But if they were wearing an N95 mask, you're worthy enough to judge me. You're worthy because you're wearing a mask that works. But this is the whole point. He's lying to you when he wears this. He's saying, look how much better my judgment is than everyone else because I'm basically not wearing anything. That's what it is. But he's acting like he's doing something. It's Ralph from The Simpsons. I'm helping, but you're not. You're not, though. Maybe quarantine tempered Biden's attitude. Because, see, before the pandemic, he was so quick to fight with all of the voters that came to his campaign event. Every single day, Biden was, like, putting up his dukes with somebody. Remember when he called that Iowan? He said, look fat, And then he called the man a, quote, damn liar, and then stated that the Iowan was, quote, too old to vote for me before challenging him to a push-up contest. Wow. You remember that one? All on camera. We played it live. Yep. 'Twas beautiful. But who could forget when Biden was on a college campus and he was arguing with a college student and he called her a, quote, lying dog-faced pony soldier, end quote. I don't even know what a pony soldier is, but I feel like that's an unexplored route from our Department of Defense. Are they soldiers that are also ponies, or are the soldiers on the ponies? And then isn't that just the cavalry? I don't know. I'm confused. Dog-faced. I don't understand that. Can I just, like, sidebar? Old dudes love, like, he was beaten by a dog or dog-faced. Right. That's some. I don't know what that is. Because some dog faces are cute. They're squishy, right? So, I don't know. Maybe he was saying that she had a furry, squishy face. I'm not quite sure. And then, no one can forget that factory worker that Biden told, quote, you're full of sh, and don't be a horse's at. Remember that one?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He told him that on camera. Got into his face. So he's clinging to this cloth mask as his last advantage. And that's how Democrats look at this. This cloth mask, this is going to be a rallying cry for virtue signaling, even more so than now. And this is real quick, and then I got another topic. This is what I added DanaLash.com, because what really bugs me is because we have mask shaming right now. I linked to you, and I told you about this yesterday, the woman who was literally chased out of a grocery store because she wasn't in a mask, or the woman who was socially undistanced punched for not wearing a mask. Or what about the MSNBC reporter who tried to mask shame people on a beach during Memorial Day when some awesome bystander walked by and called him out on his BS, which was amazing. So the thing is that he's wearing this ineffective thing, and he's lying to you. It's acting out a lie. It's BS theater. They do nothing but lull people into this false sense of safety because they think that these proven ineffective things are actually protecting them. It's the act of lying to people while simultaneously trying to market yourself as someone who's trustworthy. It doesn't look silly to me that he's wearing a mask. It looks silly to me that he's wearing that type of mask. And I don't believe that they're dumb enough to be unaware of all of the mask studies. He's putting on such a big show of having it seen. So that's the whole thing. And stop shaming people if they agree with countless studies that cloth masks are entirely ineffective. And stop acting like recognition of this fact makes someone a mass murderer. It doesn't. Now, Governor Blackface in Virginia. See, if only Jimmy Fallon was the governor of Virginia. He's mandating face diapers in all public areas. This is the new thing coming for you, Virginians. Oh, yeah. This begins on Friday. Ralph Northam, even though he didn't wear a mask at all over the weekend and was taking selfies with everyone, which is completely contradictory of social distancing rules, he's now saying, Virginia, you have to wear a face diaper anytime that you go out in public. Even though fresh air and sunshine and warm temperatures have actually been proven to be detrimental to the virus, you need to cover your face with a diaper every single time. No, he said mask. Every single time you leave your home. And he indicated that science increasingly shows, without actually substantiating the science that increasingly shows, face coverings are an important tool. They're not when not everyone can get N95s. Remember, you all lied to us and told us that these were entirely ineffective because you were terrified we were going to go buy all the N95s. And when we did, then you said, okay, the jig is up. You're right. Better cover your face. So we don't trust you. Coming up, we're going to talk about big tech because there's a problem. Ooh, and can I introduce you to the guy who literally leads the team that approves what you say on Twitter? This is going to be fun, and you don't want to miss this. We're going to be following the SpaceX-NASA launch. They were driven to the launch pad in a Tesla, which is going to be moving manufacturing to Austin, and they're going to be moving to Texas, by the way, because California sucks and has high taxes. So we got a lot to get into. If you haven't tried Super Beet Soft Chews, you are missing out. Super Beet Soft Chews are a delicious snack you can take on the go and support your heart health. Super Beets Chews combine non-GMO beets with a powerful new ingredient, grapeseed extract. The grapeseed extract used in Super Beet Soft Chews has been clinically shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure as a healthy lifestyle alone. Better blood pressure means more energy, the way nature intended, without the jittery caffeine or stimulants. Now you can take just 2 delicious chews a day, anytime, anywhere, to get the blood pressure support you need and the energy you want. Do what I did and support your heart health with delicious Super Beats Chews. Get your Super Beats Chews today at danasbeats.com, and when you buy two bags, they'll throw in the third for free. That's danasbeats.com to get a free bag of Super Beats Soft Chews when you purchase two. danasbeats.com.
Watch all 3 hours of The Dana Show live on Facebook, YouTube, or The First, Channel 248 on Pluto TV.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
Oh my gosh, do we have a lot. So this is, I'm kind of torn on this. So Mike Pompeo had tweeted that he told Congress that Hong Kong no longer meets the requirements for basically saying no reasonable person can assert that it maintains a high degree of autonomy from China. He tweeted this earlier today saying, quote, "I reported to Congress that Hong Kong is no longer autonomous from China, given facts on the ground. The United States stands with the people of Hong Kong." So what does this mean? I mean, the administration's always had a very tough stance on China and has stood with Hong Kong. But where does it, because there, if you say, OK, send in military, well, then let's look at the repercussions of that. And we're going to explore that this week. But in the meantime, put that up there so you can keep an eye on it. So Space Force, Steve Carell's new Netflix series, which apparently mocks the administration, got a really bad review from, of all people, Daily Beast. That kind of shocks me. So that means it must really suck. The subhead is, quote, "It's unclear what went wrong with Space Force, which reunites Carell with the creator of The Office. Suffice it to say, it's a confusing misfire and wasting serious potential." Wow. The guy said who reviewed it, Kevin Fallon, said that he watched the first 5 episodes and then he watched 6. And then he's like, the show did not get any better. He said it was just awful. Whoa. He said that the first episode was bad. How could it not get good? So he says maybe it's a misfire. That actually does shock me because he seems like such a, you know, yeah. Bill de Blasio is blasted again. It's a weekly thing for making an outrageous claim that small businesses are prepared to, quote, hang on for a few more months as store owners are begging to reopen before they lose everything. And no one ever said it was a cure. It was supposed to treat symptoms. Symptoms. France is reportedly banning the use of hydroxychloroquine as a cure. That's how it's being presented in the press, except it's never been approached as a cure. It treats the symptoms. We have a lot more in store. The latest on those Minneapolis police officers and George Floyd. We're watching the NASA SpaceX thing, too. And big tech. Stick with us.
Delivering the truth online and on air. Listen to The Dana Show live on the radio or at danaradio.com or on demand.
I think people felt like the Supreme Court made the decision here in Wisconsin that it was time to open up. But you can see here, just around. Nobody's wearing them. Nobody's
the cameraman.
There you go, including the cameraman. Yeah. Katie.
I love the dude who walked by and he was just recording. By the way, the dude who walked by had his phone in horizontal. Did y'all catch that? First thing I saw.
Landscape.
Yeah, or sorry, landscape. Yes, he had it in landscape mode, not portrait. Welcome back to the show. DanaLash.com at DLash on the Twitters. So the big tech fight. If you were to look, and my allergies are crazy today, so if you hear an ever so slight sniffle, it's not the Rona. Which I know I would be the first to suspect were I you, because that's just how I am. I'm a germaphobe. If you've been paying attention at all to the media, and I've touched on this at danalash.com, it was also included in the newsletter that was sent out last night, which you can also sign up for at danalash.com. If you've been following any of the headlines, if you've looked at memorandum, if you have looked at what is trending with AP's Wire, all of this jazz, then one of the things that you've noticed is apparently Trump is so bad and he's threatening social media companies. And oh, my goodness. So how did this start? Let me give you the breakdown. First off, it started with Trump repeating on social media one of the most gossiped about and just completely. I mean, it was so gossiped about. It's like beating a dead horse. I'm not trying to impart any kind of even remotely related pun, but it's everything is so awkward. It's awkward. It's a pandemic. It was one of the most gossiped about things. This story about Joe Scarborough and the intern. And I'm really not like, unless they bring that, what's his face? Robert Mitchum. Was that his name? Who used to host Unsolved Mysteries.
Yeah.
Didn't he have like the voice of an angel? I believe he did. Like him and Vincent Price are like some of my two favorite people on earth, although they're now no longer on earth. But if, and I mean, it was like one of a story that would like be on Unsolved Mysteries. And apparently it was an intern in his office, and there was all, and he was like joking about it on Howard Stern one day. And there's some people who actually believe that he might have had something to do with it. Some people don't think so. I'm not really so much as interested in that, but Trump repeated it on social media, right? On Twitter specifically. And that made the Karens on Morning Karen very upset. Have you watched Morning Karen on MSNBC? Karen Scarborough and Karen Brzezinski?
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a show by Karens for Karens. It's Morning Karen. And the Karens got a hold of it and lost their minds, which is typically what they do anytime they are even remotely criticized. One time I criticized them, like in an offhand way of bias, and Mika Brzezinski lost her mind at me, and so did Joe Scarborough. So, full disclosure, it is very difficult for me to foment any kind of, not empathy, understanding, goodwill, because I have just pretty much grace, because it's pretty much only indignation. I've seen them, and I've been one of them, horribly attack and smear people in the nastiest ways and do the very things that they accuse Trump of doing. But they feel as though that they are beyond reproach. They are above judgment because it's Morning Karen, right? And so I really don't have a lot of Robert Stack. God love you, Jeff, on Twitter. I love social media. I really don't have Robert Stack. Thank you. Not Robert Mitchum. I was mixing up my bobs. It's all right. But I don't really have a lot of, I can't feel sorry for Joe Scarborough, because and every time they're criticized, they turn into these giant wailing victims every single time, even though they're the ones who carry out the nastiest. If you want to talk about personal smears, criticizing someone who has a morning show on MSNBC and dabbles in news and presents themselves as some sort of, they don't say that they're editorialists, even though that's what they are. They act like, oh, we are news. But you're not. You're the equivalent of an editorial writer on broadcast television. And criticizing the presentation of a story through biased contexts, that is not an attack. That is legitimate criticism. And I did that one time, offhandedly. They weren't even like the focus of my criticism. And they acted as though I personally came to their home. And I mean, it was so overdramatic. Twitchy wrote about it. A couple of other entities wrote about it because their behavior was out of hand. So I don't take them seriously when they say stuff like this. And if Joe Scarborough didn't want anyone to talk about this stuff, then why did you ever do an interview with Howard Stern when you brought it up and were joking about it? If you never wanted it to ever be revisited, you were the one who entered it into public canon. So you can't turn around and undo something that you did because someone you dislike decides to mention it on Twitter. And so from there, it got unhinged. Now, media people, not all, but all of the bad media people like to circle the wagons and protect each other, right? From the dirty proletariat, how dare we, a free people, question our free press? We apparently are free, but with an asterisk. So they were very upset. And that's when Karen Brzezinski got on Twitter and began demanding that Jack Dorsey delete Trump's tweet and suspend his accounts. And then it wasn't just them. Then you had the New York Times that got in on it. An editorial over at the New York Times written by Kara Swisher. Twitter must cleanse the Trump stain. And then apparently, I guess the Karens went and he just simply mentioned it. He didn't push it. He mentioned it. There's a huge difference. And there was this. The woman's husband or something I guess they got him involved, and it just turned into this huge thing, right? I always love when media goes, can you believe his tweets? People need to ignore his tweets. Look at his tweets that we're making a massive story about while we tell everyone to ignore them. So the New York Times wrote a piece on it, and then Twitter was like, oh, okay. Now, I can almost kind of go both ways on this. I've been trying to sort of talk myself into a more modified position on it, but the other part of me is just punch that part. So it's not working very well. So what they did was Twitter added a warning label to Trump's tweets. And I have the screenshot if you get the newsletter. So what you would have his tweet, for instance, he was tweeting about mail-in ballots. And he tweeted, and I quote, "There is no way, zero, that mail-in ballots will be anything less than substantially fraudulent. Mailboxes will be robbed. Ballots will be forged." Because this, by the way, this has all actually happened. Documented. And there are even court cases and convictions. And he says, "Mailboxes will be robbed. Ballots will be forged, even illegally printed out and fraudulently signed. The governor of California is sending ballots to millions of people. Anyone living in the state, blah, blah, blah. No matter who they are, this will be a rigged election. No way." So both of those tweets at the very bottom is an exclamation point in a circle. And it says, "Get the facts about mail-in ballots." It's like Facebook Lite. Have you ever seen? I've seen some of my friends post things. And some of them are just funny memes that are not supposed to be silly. And they get fact checked and they get behind this, like they get blurred. And then it says, you know, "This post has inaccurate information." It's like, who has that kind of life? That's like the ultimate Karen move. And then when you click on the link, it takes you to this Twitter events page. And it says Trump makes an unsubstantiated claim. And they work with like CNN and lefty media outlets as their fact checkers. Right. So I don't know if I necessarily trust that. I'm going to come to the guy who leads the team. Trust. So here's my question. Let me set this up. I do not want the government. I am a limited government person. I am a conservatarian. I first coined that term years ago myself. Years ago. The Section 230, FCC Section 230, which protects publishers, protects forums like this. I do not want there to be an ugly precedent established, which would be a first in, because now our digital age, everything is moving digitally. I do not want this awful precedent that would have repercussions so far reaching into the future established in government to get involved in private business. But at the same time, Twitter's begging for it. Facebook is begging for it. It's like they are challenging the administration to do it. And here's the thing. How is Twitter simply a platform and not a publisher if they are now fact-checking tweets? And if the sources that they are using as the basis, as the determination as to whether or not something is true or false, are themselves misleading, how is that not indicative of active political bias? And furthermore, how are they labeling Trump's tweets, but they've never labeled Biden's, especially the one wherein he blamed the entirety of the American pandemic fatalities literally on Trump? That was from like 2 days ago. Or what about the verified accounts of the Communist Party of China spokespeople who get out and accuse the U.S. military of planting the coronavirus in China? Are those going to receive the same label? Because as of last night, I was checking, none of them have. So how are you also claiming, and this is what Jack Dorsey and Twitter claim, that they are not going to interfere in elections and they have no interest in doing that? How can you say that when your quote unquote fact checking is so inconsistently applied? Because the inconsistency by itself denotes bias. And by doing that, that is interference. And we already know that they have, because they've admitted it, not just in hearings, so to speak, but on camera with James O'Keefe, that man-written algorithms, it's not just something that manifests out of the ether, that these things come into play to suppress certain ideologies. So they're trying to meddle without the appearance of meddling. That could affect an election. I do believe that. And if you don't believe that they or anyone else would do this, do you also believe that a party would not weaponize the FBI and DOJ to undermine an election? Because that already happened. What makes you think that they wouldn't use big tech? They've already used the FBI and the DOJ to do this. This is the problem. I'm not going to be blamed for being suspicious of entities that have already shown me what they're willing to do to win. Documented. There is actual physical evidence, communications, notes, documents, all kinds of stuff, and even admissions under oath before House subcommittees. So, this is my concern. Now, I know we're running out of time in here, but I got to show you. Would you like to know about the individual who is leading the team that is apparently involved with the fact-checking? I had tweeted some about this. I'm on Parler, too, at Dana Lash on Parler. So the guy's name is Yoel Roth. And this is one of, and he is, in case you wanted to know, this guy is the head of site integrity at Twitter, and he leads teams responsible for developing and enforcing Twitter's rules. Yeah, Yoel Roth. Here's an example of one of his tweets. Quote, this is November 8th, 2016. I'm just saying, we fly over those states that voted for a racist tangerine for a reason, end quote. And he even has in his description who he is. He, from January of 2017, quote, this is head of Twitter integrity. This is the guy who leads the team who determines if it's okay what you're saying on Twitter. He tweets, quote, today on Meet the Press, we're speaking with Joseph Goebbels about the first 100 days. What I hear whenever Kellyanne is on a news show, end quote. This is January 2017, quote, yes, that person in the pink hat is clearly a bigger threat to your brand of feminism than, caps lock, actual Nazis in the White House. Mm-hmm. Wait a minute. Then this is from a year ago, quote, how does a personality-free bag of farts like Mitch, that's actually kind of funny, how does a personality-free bag of farts like Mitch McConnell actually win elections? Now, again, this is the guy who made the determination. He leads the team that made the determination that learn to code is a slur and you can be suspended for saying that to a journalist. But gun whore is okay, right? That's the guy who leads up all of that at Twitter. You really believe that big tech wouldn't be used? So this is where I'm torn. I don't like using the government to settle scores. Regardless, something awful is going to happen if you establish this precedent of allowing the government to get involved into private entities. It's a private entity. One of the things I challenge all of you to do is go and create accounts over at like Gab and Parler. And what is it? Telegram's another one. Mm-hmm. You need to start. Telling you. You need to start. We have a lot more coming up, including the latest. CDC confirms the remarkably low virus fatality rate. Pew Research is trying to push back on the New York Times story talking about the fatality rates between blue states and red states. We have even more stuff on big tech. And in a world of Karens, be a Monica Salinas. We've got all of that and so much more.
Head to DanaRadio.com for the latest videos, blog posts, and podcasts.
I love this track. Love it. I was just looking at a tweet that was going on about one of Andrew Cuomo's press conferences. This has apparently happened just a little bit ago. He is blaming the coronavirus fatality rate. And if you have gone, by the way, again, my website, danalash.com, because I have all of the information that you would ever want to know about Cuomo and the state mandate that required nursing homes to accept coronavirus patients regardless of status of virus. And he had to change the policy. And so one reporter was noting Cuomo, and I'm quoting it, Cuomo was very much putting this onus for COVID deaths in nursing homes on nursing homes. He quotes Cuomo and saying, the obligation is on the nursing home to say, I can't take a COVID positive person. That's absolutely false. It was literally a state mandate. And in fact, I have helpfully linked in my tweet, if you follow me on Twitter, the NBC piece where it discusses how it was literally a state mandate and how Cuomo was getting heat for it. Here's the headline. Quote, New York will no longer require nursing homes to take COVID patients from hospitals. It was a state mandate. I have like a million other links that get into this. But it is, it's up at danalash.com, and the headline of that post is Why Media Fawns Over Cuomo and Smears DeSantis. But there is a plethora information and sources there for you that talks about how New York is leading the country in coronavirus nursing home fatalities and that Cuomo only changed the policy earlier this month. Don't go anywhere. We have a lot more in store. Grover Norquist will be joining us later on because Joe Biden wants to raise your taxes.
This segment of the Dana Show podcast is brought to you by Kel-Tec. They don't make ordinary firearms. They invent better ones. Innovation, performance, Kel-Tec. Visit them at keltecweapons.com.
My husband made a failed attempt at humor last week when checking in with the small business that helps with our boat and dock up north. Knowing it wouldn't make a difference, he jokingly asked if being married to me might move him up in the queue. Obviously, with the motorized boating prohibition in our early days of COVID-19, he thought it might get a laugh. It didn't. And to be honest, I wasn't laughing either when it was relayed to me.
Oh, yeah, sure. That is the embattled Michigan governor, Gretchen Whitmer. Welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Dana Lash, danalash.com, at DLash on Twitter, official Dana Lash on Facebook as well. This Michigan governor, who I think at one point was considered on the short list, or perhaps leading the short list for Joe Biden's VP, now has so much negative attention attached to her. I think that it's safe to say that she's fallen really well down below some other women on that list. Her strict lockdown policies, which provoked all kinds of protest, well, now she's in trouble because she said that she was lifting some lockdown restrictions in areas before Memorial Day. But then there was a marina owner who wrote on Facebook that the governor's husband, Mark Malloy, had asked its workers to get their nearby boat in the water before Memorial Day. And this was about 25 minutes from Traverse City, where the governor and her husband, a vacation property that they own, their main residence is in Lansing. And they said that there was no chance this was going to happen because they said being Memorial Weekend and the fact that we started working 3 weeks late means there's just no chance. That's what Tad Dwalker, who is the owner of North Shore Dock LLC, wrote on Facebook last Thursday. And he said, and then Mark Malloy said, quote, well, our office personnel had explained this to the man. And he replied, I am the husband of the governor. Will this make a difference? Wow. So that's pretty. And that's just not the only thing that she's because she was saying, oh, it was a failed attempt at humor. No, it was him trying to abuse his wife's position. And that's just not the only thing. She was criticized then, too. And we're going to play this later on because her husband was going to the vacation property when she wasn't allowing anyone else to go to their properties. Oh, but he just needed to go to rake leaves. That is silly. That's a really bad excuse. But it's for me, not for thee. That's what this is all about. I'm tired of it. A lot of people are tired of it. This lockdown stuff. I have a piece up at danalash.com that gets into the economic aspect of it. And I've always been very careful in saying outright that my piece is actually going to be going up here shortly. It went out in the newsletter. Part of it went out in the newsletter last night. That's why you need to sign up for the newsletters at danalash.com. Oh, by the way, tune into Channel 248 Pluto TV via the first because we're there too, and Facebook and YouTube all 3 hours. I've been very careful to say that they want the economy to not do well because it sounds just like it's so much hyperbole, right? But at the same time, when people are telling you this stuff, shouldn't you believe them when they're telling you these things? Shouldn't you believe them when they have said previously, oh, well, that's we'd hope that they're if you're a pundit on the left and you talk about how you really wish that there was some kind of recession because it would really hurt Trump in the re-election. I look at the way that the media has been how the way that they have been doing this, the way that they've been covering all of this. I wrote in the newsletter last night, it's really difficult not to wonder when I see things like this. And there was a tweet from Jake Tapper, and it says, in 18 states, including Georgia, Arkansas, California, and Alabama, the number of new COVID-19 cases is rising. Here's the problem with this. It isn't reporting to state that there's a rise in cases without providing the context that the rise is specifically due to increased testing. There's no context given to the severity of any of these cases. There's whether there are hospitalizations. There's no context given to the recovery rate versus the fatality rate. The entire point seems completely specially designed to encourage belief that the country's reopening is responsible for increased cases, when you had Drs. Fauci and Birx both say that increased testing would mean an increase in reported positive cases, which in turn would then drive down the fatality rate. This is the same propagandizing that was at play in Texas media, because they were saying, oh, my gosh, the number of positive cases, maybe it's a consequence of the state's reopening. No, it's directly because of increased testing. This is basic data analysis. And then Politico had a piece about this the other day. They were saying that, this was in our email that I sent out last night. They said the general election scenario that Democrats are dreading. We are about to see the best economic data we've seen in the history of the country, says a former top economic advisor to Obama. His name's Jason Furman, and I quote him. He was tapped to give this opening presentation. He was speaking to a bunch of these operatives and the former cabinet secretaries and Federal Reserve chairs. He was doing it through Zoom. And he told them, he goes, we're about to see the best economic data we've seen in the history of this country. And everyone looked puzzled and thought I had misspoken, Furman said. This is Politico from yesterday. Instead of forecasting a prolonged depression-level economic catastrophe, Furman laid out a detailed case for why the months preceding the November election could offer Trump the chance to brag truthfully about the most explosive monthly employment numbers and gross domestic product growth ever. True. And then here's the kick of it. Furman's counterintuitive punch has caused some Democrats, especially Obama alumni around Washington, to panic. This is my big worry, said a former Obama White House official who is still close to the former president. Asked about the levels of concern among top party officials, he said it's high, 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 because of the economic recovery. This is not alone. In fact, the Federal Reserve of St. Louis Chairman James Buller believes that the jobless rate is going to be back below 10% by December. Now, this is Democrats' best chance at hitting Trump electorally. They'd have to convince voters that he's bad for the economy. And a rebound, particularly a rebound which would be as fast as experts and economists are predicting, is disastrous for both their narrative and strategy. And this public knowledge, coupled with the manner in which their media surrogates are reporting the virus's status, it makes rational people question the motives of Democrats and the media in this. They want the economy to stay closed, not because of health, but because of control. I'm not wrong on this, not in the slightest. And this is, I don't want people like this having any kind of control, to be honest, not a single bit. Now, I have a couple of other things to share with you here. Including, this is some coronavirus stuff, online alcohol delivery services. This is SBS. This is Australia. But I thought this was funny. Australia's media says online alcohol delivery services are ignoring rules and serving drunk people. What? They're upset. They said, a survey finding Victorians who regularly get their alcohol home delivered are often already drunk when they place their order. And they're sitting at home. And gosh, okay, Karen. You've taken everything else from them. You're going to take their hooch too? Shut up. Good night. All right, a couple of other things. I really wish I could tell you what I have as the intro to this line on my rundown. It's under China. It's the first one. Mm-hmm. It's blink around and find out, right? China says Trump administration is bluffing in sanctions threats for Hong Kong. Oh, really? This is from U.S. News and World Report. The story is that they think that he's just blowing hot air. Beijing dismissed White House threats to impose sanctions in retaliation for the crackdown on Hong Kong. Now, remember, Mike Pompeo had said earlier today that going by the facts on the ground, it's difficult to say that Hong Kong is autonomous from China. The United States stands with Hong Kong. China said in its communist paper, oh, they're bluffing. They said, as this is literally what the Communist Party in China is writing in the Communist Party newspaper run by the state. They say, quote, as the U.S. is entangled in the COVID-19 epidemic, it's actually the Wuhan coronavirus, its actual ability to intervene externally is weakening. You think? They said the White House claimed it would impose sanctions on China, but the tools and resources at its disposal are fewer than those it could mobilize before the outbreak. Man. Because you've been watching, we talked about this yesterday, well, in a headline yesterday. China is trying to hardcore now exert control over Hong Kong. And the administration responded immediately. Pompeo said last week that they were going to reassess the special status the U.S. affords Hong Kong economically if Beijing proceeds with this. And if Beijing proceeds with what Pompeo said was a disastrous proposal, the United States would be forced to reconsider its trading status with the U.S., from which China also benefits. So his tweet makes me wonder if this is a prelude to this. We're going to talk about that with Stephen Yates this week. And this is the big question. And this is from National Security Advisor Robert O'Brien. He said that, well, China would have to face sanctions if they tried to undermine Hong Kong's limited authority. So Mike Pompeo, to me, it looks like he's setting up the foundation for sanctions. That's what he's doing. He says it's hard to see how Hong Kong could remain in the Asian financial center that it's become if China takes over. He says that's going to be, you know, virtually impossible at this point to do that. And then any sanctions would be disastrous for China. So this and Trump has really, really been heavy hitting against China and on social as of late. So, All right, coming up, we're going to have the latest with four Minneapolis cops. They were fired over the death of George Floyd, the handcuffed black man. Who showed a white officer kneeling on his neck and for 6 minutes during an arrest, and he died from it. He died. And then Jimmy Fallon apologizes for, 20 years ago, millennials just discovered SNL 20 years ago, and you had Jimmy Fallon who did a skit dressed up as Chris Rock, and the mob came for him. And so Jimmy Fallon now apologizes. He says, I made a terrible decision. We'll have that for you as well. We're also watching the latest with NASA and SpaceX. Absolutely historic what's happening here. Super cool because they're getting ready to send up two astronauts to the International Space Station. Super awesome. Cape Canaveral, Florida. So we'll have that for you as well. We're continuing to watch it. Patriot Mobile is introducing new pricing on all new lines for a limited time. $25, $35, $45, $55. That's right, plan pricing is now only $25, $35, $45, $55. Let their U.S.-based team design a customized family plan for you. Patriot Mobile will never charge you hidden fees, and by switching, you'll finally stop supporting Planned Parenthood and gun-grabbing Democratic candidates. Patriot Mobile only supports the conservative values that you believe in. Did you know so far this year, AT&T and Verizon have given twice as much money to Democratic candidates as to Republicans? Who are you supporting with your cell phone? Join me in supporting Patriot Mobile this month, and you'll receive an autographed copy of my new book, Grace Canceled. Switching is easy and can all be done over the phone. You get new lower pricing, $25, $35, $45, $55, and support your values with every call. Call 972-PATRIOT or visit patriotmobile.com/Dana. Make the call today to 972-PATRIOT or visit patriotmobile.com/Dana. Use promo code Dana to waive all activation fees and receive a free gift.
You won't miss any Dana shows by subscribing to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever podcasts are available.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
I am so excited about this launch. By the way, the astronauts are strapped in and ready to rock to the ISS with SpaceX, which is pretty stoked. I'm pretty stoked. We're all watching it here in the studio as we're doing the show. Speaking of space, astronomers discover, I love donuts, a donut-shaped cosmic ring of fire. Ring of fire in early universe. I don't understand how this happens, but I love reading it. This is from New York Post. Astronomers have captured images of a rare type of galaxy dubbed Cosmic Ring of Fire. Maybe Johnny Cash is there. And it existed about 11 billion years ago, so we'd have to travel back in time. According to a study published Monday, the galaxy has a cutie little name. Actually, it doesn't. It's just R5519. It's believed to be a collisional ring, which formed when two galaxies smash into one another, according to Nature Astronomy. They say the galaxy has about the same mass as the Milky Way, but unlike ours, R5119 has a massive hole in the middle that makes it resemble a tasty, gigantic donut. Donuts. And let's see here. Virginians are preparing for a mandatory face diaper mandate from Governor Blackface of Boredom. He announced this. It's going to require Virginians to wear face coverings in public spaces where blah, 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 social distancing. And he asked Virginians to do their homework and obtain facial protection and blah, blah, blah. Okay. MSNBC, their policies are permitting Mueller prosecutor Andrew Weissman from headlining Joe Biden's fundraiser. So he quit. Remember I was telling you about this guy who was involved in the whole Flynn unmasking and the persecution? Well, of course, not only was he at Hillary Clinton's 2016 Cry Fest when she lost, but he also was headlining an event for Joe Biden, and MSNBC, because he's a legal analyst for them, they said, you can't do that. And so he quit. So there you go. That tells you where his priorities are. More people, are taking drugs for anxiety and insomnia now, and doctors are worried. I wonder if this was what Fauci was talking about when he said, look, if you lock people down for this long, there's going to be serious consequences. Yes, because social isolation and job loss stress is taking a toll. So more people are turning to medications, and doctors are very concerned, saying, look, this can quickly become a habit. Prescriptions specifically for anti-anxiety medications have risen over 10% in the United States just in March alone. That's crazy. From March 2020, from 2019 March to March 2020, actually almost 11%. And they said prescriptions for antidepressants rose from 9.2% to 29.7 million from 27.2 million in the same period. That's pretty good night. That's a lot. Well, when you keep people locked up and they can't go out and talk to anyone, and there were riots last night in Minneapolis as people protested George Floyd's death. We got an update on that, too. Those police officers have been fired, but people are wanting charges pressed. Stick with us.
This portion of the Dana Show is brought to you by Kel-Tec. They don't make ordinary firearms. They invent better ones. Innovation. Performance. Kel-Tec. Visit us at KelTecWeapons.com.
Remember what that felt like. Yet here you are. You just sent two astronauts in a car made by your car company to launch pad 39A with a spacecraft made by your space company. Yeah. And now they're launching the International Space Station. So I'm wondering for you in this moment, do you just pinch yourself thinking, yes, is this really happening?
This is a dream come true, I think, for me and everyone at SpaceX. This is not something that I ever thought would actually happen. So when starting SpaceX in 2002, I really did not think this day would occur. I expected 90% chance we'd fail to even get to low Earth orbit with a small rocket. So somebody told me in 2002 that I'd be standing here with the NASA administrator, meeting the astronauts, and the we've got a rocket and spacecraft on pad 39A, the best pad in the world, which is, it's an honor to be there. I would have thought, man, I don't know what you're smoking, but it's not. like no way.
That's pretty cool. That's Elon Musk. SpaceX, in conjunction with NASA, putting on a huge show of privatization power, and they're getting ready to launch two astronauts into orbit towards the ISS, the International Space Station. This is awesome, because for a while, we didn't have no way to get anybody up there. We were literally hitching rides with Russians. That's not something that Americans should do. No. It's like a very big deal. By the way, welcome back to the show. DanaLash.com, at DLash on Twitter, official DanaLash on Facebook, at DanaLash on Parler as well. And I'm amazed at the manner in which they lock these astronauts in here. The only thing that is even maybe somewhat on that level of difficulty is latching a newborn into the back of your car. putting a baby in a car seat. And if it's a cranky baby, imagine putting an octopus in a car seat. Except these are calm, cool adult people in astronaut suits. So, but it was like a very big deal. I was, okay, so here's a question that I had. They had their helmets on, like in the car driving over there. You wouldn't put it on like after you get buckled up. Like you have your helmet on, like when you're just in the Tesla, like brrr, actually it doesn't make any noise. This is what the Tesla sounds like, which is terrifying. I put a damn cowbell on that thing or something. I need to know that it's coming at me. I have a friend that has a Tesla, and she parked behind me one time, and I did not hear her until she shut her car door, which actually would be a great car for serial killers. But that's a whole, that's like not, I'm just like, you know, I'm joking. Anyway, so they had their helmets on, getting in the car, and then heading to the launch pad, right? Which was also a character in, what was that Disney show? With the ducks, and it came on after Scrooge McDuck. DuckTales. It came on after DuckTales. Yeah. Launchpad was Scrooge McDuck's pilot, by the way. Anyway. But they had their helmets on. They drove over there. I'm like, you wouldn't put your helmet on after you get locked in. And notice all these. I mean, I'm like really impressed at everybody's suits. Everybody's got like, there are different teams of people in different suits. And the people who are in the black suits right now, they have different numbers on them. Like there's a number 19 and there's a number 5 and then there's a number 4 right there. And they are just like numbers. I'm fascinated by this whole thing. I am most, because did you see the people in the white suits that were buckling them in? So you have what, team white suit and team black suit. Is there a green suit? Purple? I'm fascinated by this. If that's like SpaceX is doing, or maybe it's NASA's doing, I am totally down with like wearing like just everybody groups of colors, right? That's actually kind of fun. Anyway, they look like ninjas. So if you're just tuning in, there's a bunch of ninjas that are helping the astronauts get on. This whole thing amazes me. And I love that it's on national television too. It's so awesome. This is really, you know what this reminds me of? And by the way, my oldest son is in the studio with me. But do you remember the name of that movie where it was the little people that were, it was the burlap sack people and they were filled with sand and they were all known by little numbers? What is it? You can, oh, Nine? The movie's called Nine? Okay, he's not ready for his close-up. So you're not going to be, like, on camera, just letting you know. I mean, people would hear you in the background. That's all. So the movie's called Nine, and that's what these costumes remind me of. Google it. It's actually an awesome movie. Yeah, it's 2009, but it's called Nine, the movie. I'm really impressed that you knew that, by the way, because I just only could remember the burlap sack sand people, because they're like little dolls. But so all these people in these little costumes, it reminds me of that movie Nine, because that's what they look like. They are all just like these burlap sack people, and they have numbers on them, and they're only known by their numbers. So that's kind of cool. Like, number 19, did you double check the lock on that hatch? That's how that works, right? Number 4, do you have, you're really cool. Is that like a titanium wrist guard that you have? That's really awesome. This is so cool. I love space, don't understand anything about it, but I love it. Love it, love it, love it. Just freak me out with some information. Totally, just love it. So when they blast off, we're going to get totally excited here. And we're going to totally just like talk about that live as it happens, whenever it happens. We could be when we're talking to Grover Norquist about Joe Biden trying to bend us all over a barrel and raise our taxes if heaven forbid he becomes president. I'll stop in the middle of our conversation. We're going to be like, they're taking off. They're going to get them aliens. Actually, they're just going to the ISS, but you know, let's have fun. All right. So they, I mean, media and Democrats are hell bent on making Joe Scarborough a thing. I mentioned this a little bit earlier because this is ultimately the thing that kicked all of the big tech fight off between the president and social media. And so now Twitter said that they were very sorry about Trump tweeting about Morning Karen. And Karen Scarborough, in case anybody was confused. And so Twitter says, we're working on implementing changes to existing product features. I'm sure that's going to be led by that Yoel Roth guy who was tweeting about the racist tangerine that all the racists in flyover country voted for. That's what he had tweeted. And by the way, he's the guy who leads the team that makes the determination as to what you can and cannot say on Twitter. So, and they said that a Twitter spokesperson said, quote, we are deeply sorry about the pain that these statements and the attention they are drawing are causing the family. We've been working to expand existing product features and policies so we can more effectively address things like this going forward. How about you just let people do them? Notice, though, not any of these people, they're not doing anything about Communist Party of China. Joe Biden doesn't have his tweets fact checked. None of this. I told you guys how, and I took screenshots of this for 4 weeks straight. My follower account on Twitter stayed precisely every digit exactly the same for 4 weeks straight. I took screenshots. No joke. Remember I told you guys this. And even if I didn't gain a single follower, you're telling me I didn't lose a single follower? Because I make people mad every day, at least every week. You're telling me that I didn't lose at least one follower? I don't believe you. It's artificial. The engagement on social media platforms like Twitter and Facebook are no longer organic. It's artificial because they game it. I told you in the very, this was, gosh, so long ago, the Don't Go movement preceded the Tea Party, and the Tea Party wouldn't have happened without the Don't Go movement. And I was remember watching all of this happen. This was maybe, when was this? 2009, maybe? 2008, 2009? No. This was actually, maybe it was before the election. It was late summer before the election, I believe, 2009. And the Don't Go movement was all about this energy bill that the House is going to debate. And Democrats who had control of the House, they didn't like it. They said no. They Americans were dealing with higher gas prices. And Nancy Pelosi shut down the House chamber. Republicans stayed. She shut off C-SPAN cameras. And they left to go on recess. And I think it was Culbertson at the time was walking around on one of the earlier, I think it was Quick, one of the earlier video streaming apps, and was reporting on this from the House. And then the hashtag Don't Go came up, and it was one of the big first viral movements. And conservatives were so successful and so prolific on Twitter and Facebook. This was the one area where conservatives did not cede any ground, because we, for so long, we gave up ground on, you know, arts and entertainment, academia, and we allowed progressives to just control those spaces. And with tech, we were so ahead of it. We were so much more well organized. I mean, the left literally had to put on something called Netroots to teach people how to use the internet effectively for progressive causes. But here's the thing. You don't have to be good at using it, and you don't have to be good at organic outreach. If you can just, if the people who own these companies are share your ideology, you can just game the system and cheat. And that's what they did. That's what they're doing. I think everyone needs to go to some of these like Gab and Parler and others, create an account, create it. I know it's a pain in the butt to keep track of all these different accounts, but you'd rather have too much liberty to attend to than too little of it. So I opened accounts on, I had one on Parler, and I opened one on Gab as well. But you need to go and create stuff on there. And it, because it's, I'm not leaving any ground. I mean, I'm not leaving Twitter, but I want to have something else in place, because at some point, I know too many people who've had their accounts suspended for literally nothing. I mean, I'm not joking. When people do something bad, I have nothing to gain by sticking up for them. And by and large, I really don't have any allegiance to anybody like that. I don't work for a big company. I work for myself. So, you know, I mean, I can go and do anywhere what I can, you know, keep on. It doesn't matter. So the idea that if somebody does something stupid that I'm not going to call, I mean, I will. I have. But I know too many people who have been just awesome and have been just, you know, totally just railroaded by platforms like Twitter. There was one, a friend of mine named Kathleen, who lives in Houston, and she's a really nice woman. She's been very, for the longest time, involved in politics. And she had shared, and she'd asked a legitimate question as it related to transgenderism. And it was about something that I have always noted, because this is something that the transgender community says anyway, that it's, you can still essentially, if you're a man who identifies as a woman, you can still like women. And she was asking a question about that, and it was a legitimate academic question, and her account was, boom, she was suspended. And it took a big wave of, you know, and it was suspended like that for 3 days, and before she finally was allowed to access her account again. So this is what I'm talking about. It is corporate censorship. And that, I just, oh man, we're at that weird point where, do you want the government to intervene? Because it's a private company. And doesn't that violate your limited government principles? And are we all right with violating limited government principles if it benefits us in this one respect? And does it truly benefit us in this one respect if, for instance, say the next big thing is a conservative-owned company and the government can come in and it's a Democrat-controlled administration and out of spite? Do you see what I'm saying? That's the Pandora's box we open. I'm just not comfortable with that. I'm not. And I'm not also arguing that by observing principle, that will encourage the left to observe principle. We will protect legal precedent, though. And that's something that, I don't know. It's tough. It's tough. I was reading, because in my book, Grace Canceled, I was talking about how you can't sin your way to virtue and how you have to be ethically and morally better than your opposition. And I was speaking to a friend of mine, a veteran, and he was saying, you know, one of the reasons why the United States was so unbelievably successful in so many different areas, you know, like the revolution, et cetera, is we adopted tactics of guerrillas. We adopted, you know, these tactics that were considered ungentlemanly, et cetera. But at the same time, the way that you fight was not, you weren't compromising a personal principle. I don't know. It's like a big philosophical discussion, but this has been rolling around in my mind. And I think that we need to talk more about this, because this is barreling towards a head here. It really is. And I think that there's going to be a blow up before the election. And we all got to be ready for it. So
follow Dana on Twitter at DLash and official Dana Lash on Facebook.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
It was a duck. So, Steve has been putting weird animals. Yeah, what do we win? I usually win things.
I don't know. This is a new concept. It's a work in progress.
Okay. ABC Action News has a crazy story about a Florida man who bit his elderly neighbor's ear, got stunned with a taser after attacking deputies. He likes plus signs because they're all over his face. And he's got a crazy top knot. A man is accused of biting, Florida man particularly, of biting his elderly neighbor's ear and attacking deputies in Riverview. The Hillsborough County Sheriff's Office responded to a call of an attack on Hillcrest Drive in Riverview just after 2 a.m. Deputies were told 21-year-old Isaiah Velez bit the neighbor's ear and then tried to stab him with broken glass. Upon arrival, deputies found Velez naked, also walking down the street. And despite efforts to calm him down, he began attacking deputies on the scene. So he was tased to bits. Well, they stunned him, is what they did. Deputies on scene suffered lacerations and abrasions. He had minor scratches. He's charged with attempted burglary of an occupied dwelling, criminal mischief of $200 or less, aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, resisting an officer with violence, grand theft of a motor vehicle, lewd and lascivious behavior, because he was naked, battery, the hell else? Oh, 4 counts of battery on a law enforcement officer. Golly, like what wasn't he charged with, I think is the better question here. And a Florida man was accused of shooting his neighbor's chickens with a BB gun. I'm running out of time, so I'm going to have to share this one with you tomorrow. But let's just say, like, the bowl cut doesn't work for everyone. And the quit mashing your bangs down to your forehead with gel. Stick with us.
The virus, first of all, is flattening on its way down. They see business opening. They themselves feel like going out and spending. These are all very positive developments that will show up in the data. Perhaps in July or August. The third quarter could be the fastest growing quarter in U.S. history. The whole second half is going to be very strong as we reopen the economy and as Americans come back to recovery.
True. That is, that's Larry Kudlow. He's talking about the amazing, like what we can actually expect with the economic recovery, because so many people, I was telling you, the St. Louis, the chairman of the St. Louis Fed, James Bullard, was saying, yeah, we're going to see, we could see unemployment, we'll probably see unemployment back under 10% by December. Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash, at DLash on Twitter's official, Dana Lash on Facebook. All 3 hours of the show are live streamed on Channel 248 Pluto TV, and also 248 Pluto TV via the first, and official Dana Lash on Facebook and YouTube. Okay, sidebar. Who else is like totally into this, like the SpaceX launch? Because I'm like all about it. Okay, also sidebar to the sidebar. They're in, I mean, they're in like some serious Star Wars gear. That's a serious helmet. What if they got to use the loo?
They do it in the suit.
They do not pee in their suits.
Sure they do. What do you think? They take off their suits to go pee?
No, but maybe it's like Spanx and there's some snaps.
There may be. I'm not sure about that part.
Can't believe I'm Googling this, but here we go.
I'm pretty sure.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh. You are. Well, no. Not on the ISS. They have to go into a large tube.
Yeah, that's
tube.
ISS. I mean, they're already there and they're living there. You know what I mean? So they're going to take their suits off when they're in the International Space Station.
But when they're not.
But when they're in their suit and they have to go.
Oh, my gosh. This is what How Stuff Works told me. And I am fascinated by this. This is what the internet just told me. We have Grover Norquist coming up. We've been talking about all kinds of serious stuff, but I'm fascinated. This is historic, everybody. This is what How Stuff Works says. Quote, each spacewalking astronaut wears a large absorbent diaper called maximum absorption garment. It's a mag, if you will, to collect urine and feces while in the spacesuit.
And feces. Do they recycle it into something else?
And then you simply dispose of the mag when the spacewalk is over.
Really? Where do you dispose of it?
And then you get dressed in regular work clothes.
Toss it out the window? What do you mean dispose of it?
And then space.com says NASA's new spacesuit has a built-in toilet. They're called the new suits. They are, and this is from 2018, so, and they may be newer than what these are. The Orion Crew Survival System suits, or the OCSSS, yes, right, will be worn by astronauts on their next-gen human spacecraft Orion, blah, 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 blah. So they, I am, they, and so they say that it's the mag, right? And you're, I didn't know, they have no reason to remain in the suits for more than 10 hours at a time. Usually it's much less. And the diaper garment looks ridiculous. I'm just going to say, it looks ridiculous. But, you know, I guess you got to do what you got to do. But they have, these are like very, you know, I'm just, okay, so curious. Say like, you know, when we open up travel and everything again, maybe we could make some of these available for people on planes, but not me, because I just would rather not do anything.
What, are you going to hold like on a 3-hour flight?
If need be.
Wow.
Where there's a will, there's a way, my friend.
All right. I'm just saying.
Some of us would rather plummet off of the plane than actually use the onboard bathroom system at said plane.
You can only physically hold back so long.
Yes. Okay, so I'm going to get into the other stuff that you watch me for, but here's sidebar. Maybe some of you heard this story. Because normally I do not like to use the restroom planes. And I always joke I'm a huge germaphobe. So all this pandemic, all the people with your germ stuff and all that, hi, welcome to my world. Yeah, hi. I've lived here a long time. I've always had the masks and the gloves and all of that stuff. Just because, you know, most people, not all, but most of them are gross. You know, like, ew. No. So everybody's got like weird. My weird thing is I'm crazy about germs. Like to the point where it's bad. So anyway, on a flight, and we got stuck on the, like, we were still at the jet bridge because something happened with the jet bridge and it wasn't like coming back. And so we were there for like 45 minutes sitting there still. That's even after boarding. And I'm like, I can't believe this, because I always, you know, make sure that I am not in that position where I need to use the restroom facilities. And had to go. So wait. Finally, we're off in the air. I couldn't wait anymore. I'm like, oh my gosh. And I figured, okay, you know, I was like in business class because I work on the plane, and I'll buy business class because I can, I'll do it. And I'm on there with a bunch of suits. I was going to New York. I'm like, okay, you're wearing a suit. I mean, surely you know how to use a toilet because you put on a suit, right? Never, ever, ever make that mistake in assuming that someone who wears a suit knows how to use a toilet. Walk into the airplane bathroom, which is basically a glorified closet. I've seen camping bathrooms that are nicer. Campground bathrooms. Go in there, and there's wet all over the floor. Mm. Wet.
Oh.
I don't think that was water from the sink. How does this happen? How do you go in there and just, you know, you have an attachment even that helps you with the aiming process.
Any turbulence?
That's irrelevant.
What?
It's be not a irrelevant. Better shot.
Turbulence.
I don't
is
want
not
any
irrelevant.
Of those people carrying guns. Turbulence? If they can't aim it in the toilet, I don't want y'all. I don't want them carrying a gun.
Turbulence is not
my
irrelevant.
Gosh, you'd have worse aim than a damn stormtrooper. So wet everywhere. And I end up slipping on the floor.
No!
But I was like, I will rip my arm out of its socket before I fall on this godforsaken floor. And I grabbed onto the sink and I made an awful racket. Like it was boom, 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 boom. It was like that. And it was at the point where I heard one of the airline attendants was like, is everything, you know, it was kind of like leaning by the bathroom. Is everything okay? And at that point, I felt it was incumbent upon me to let everyone know that I was not a terrorist. And that was not my bomb hitting the, you know, the bathroom wall, so to speak. So I yelled out, you know, in a crystal clear voice. Because I also wanted to shame the people that came into the bathroom before me. So I yelled out, it's all right. I just slipped on some pee.
Oh.
And then it hit me right after I said it. Oh my gosh. They think it's mine. And then I felt like I had to add. So I made an addendum and another crystal clear loud voice. Also, it's not mine. It is not my pee. It is someone else's out there. So I got looks when I came out of the airplane bathroom. Yeah, so that was my experience. End of story. All right. That's one thing in these diapers. Long story short, these diapers might actually, they're not diapers, they're mags. Might maybe be, you know, maybe they're helpful. I'm okay with that. What's your mag capacity? How many rounds can you hold?
Oh.
You knew I was going there. How did you not know? It sets itself up. It lends itself a natural dovetail into that topic. Gosh. All right. So coming up, we have Grover Norquist. He's going to be joining us. And he's Joe Biden wants to raise our taxes. And that's immediately how you do not ever become my best friend. Okay. And then we have here's Ohio Governor Mike DeWine. I got to share this. So Mike DeWine is telling people, look, y'all. Y'all need to be wearing your face masks. He doesn't say it like that, but he was speaking to NBC, and he was talking with Chuck Todd, and they were talking about wear masks for the benefit of protecting others. That's not about politics. Here's the thing. No one thinks it is. I think it's about virtue signaling. That's what it's about. I did a great explainer. I'll have that video up on DanaLash.com about how the cloth masks that most people wear are just so worthless. It's worthless. They're worse than worthless. It's awful. N95s actually mean something. They actually do something. So Mike DeWine was saying, he said, quote, this is not about politics. It's not about whether you're liberal or conservative, right or left, and blah, 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 blah. Wear the mask. And it's been very clear what the studies have shown. You wear the mask not to protect yourself so much as to protect others. Okay, again, cloth masks are impotent, ineffective. They don't work. He goes, what we do directly impacts others, blah, blah, blah. He goes, if you're in a car and you're driving by yourself, you don't have to wear a mask. But when you go out and interact with people, we're asking Ohioans to do this. And it's not about politics. It's about helping other people. Okay, here's the thing with what he's saying here. This is also a choice, right? It's also a choice. If you're out in public, I think it's a choice. If you go into a private business and they're asking you to do something, fine. I also think that the absence of any kind of godly goodwill is not the justification for some sort of unconstitutional action. It is, however, an indictment of the spirit. You should want to be a good steward of your fellow man. One of the big problems with the growth of big government is that big government steps in where people fail to either do it themselves, and then it grows from there. Actually, that's the only reason they step in. Oh, there's a need. We need to fill this need. Well, the private sector can handle this need. Private sector needs to handle a need. I mean, you don't have to be told to look out for other people and be a good steward of others. It's something that, you know, if you're a caring person with a heart, it's already in your system. You do it not because you feel prevailed upon to do so by some sort of authority, but because you genuinely care for other people. And so much of this, I think, if you genuinely care for other people, why in the ever-loving hell are you lying to them about wearing a cloth mask and saying that it's effective? Because it's not. It scares me because it feels like it's giving people a false sense of safety, and they're going to feel as though I'm safe because I have this worthless piece of crap on my face, because all of these politicians have lied to me and told me that it's completely acceptable to wear this study, this disproven, it has been proven ineffective, this thing on my face. Because N95s are hard to come by. What they should say is, wear N95s. Even surgical masks. That's what the one study I have linked at danalash.com says, like 44% effective. The surgical masks are at least better than the cloth mask, which every single study said was completely ineffective. Did nothing. In fact, one study said 97% of the particles came through. And the coronavirus particle is... It's small enough that it will permeate through a cloth mask. Cloth masks are not, and not just that, but a lot of other stuff, including flu. So this is, it's lying to people. How are you pretending to be virtuous when you're lying to people about the effectiveness of certain types of masks? Because one's not as good as the other. Media, this is what I was telling you about. Pew Research had a hot take. This is their headline. GOP-controlled House districts have a smaller rate of decline in COVID deaths. Except, as we shared from the New York Times yesterday, and I also tweeted this out at DLash on Twitter, the problem, for context, the New York Times piece that I shared yesterday says the coronavirus is deadliest where Democrats live. That's the reality for red and blue. They have a crazy high fatality rate. And one of the reasons why you're continuing to see... So basically what Pew's saying is that red states are doing more testing faster. That's what you're saying. I mean, it's silly. The attempt to try to... That's not even news. It's not even reporting. It's just propagandizing. All right, coming up, Grover Norquist is going to join us. Biden wants to raise taxes on everybody. He wants to repeal Trump's tax cuts. That would ruin the economy. Disastrous. And for what? They already get in record revenue. We're going to discuss that and a lot more. We have Today in Stupidity too.
A higher caliber of talk. Get Dana on demand through iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
All right, so a couple of things here. That Central Park bird watcher, remember the Christian Cooper, the Karen who called, who got the other Karen in trouble when she called the cops on him? Now he's saying, well, she shouldn't have lost her job. What did you think would happen? By the way, he's very well connected in media, and he got all of this out in that and through his contacts. What did you think was going to happen? The rage mob decided to turn Karen and go after her. I mean, it was just a bad situation all around. Everyone sucks. That's just it. This is bad. Also, this is a crazy story. This is from a couple of different sources, including Daily Mail. A Virginia principal apologized for a graduation banner that some say was racist because it used black students' faces as shading for the outline of the high school logo. Mm-hmm. And it had the school's logo, the symbol, and the edges of it. That was in bad taste to do that. Oh my gosh. Oil is on track for its best month ever after rebound. Traders say CNBC. They say it's not out of the woods yet. An improving demand outlook, as well as an ongoing supply cut, has fueled the recent surge in prices. They say oil prices will remain volatile as participants try to find a path through the extreme distortions caused by a fall off the cliff in demand and lagged supply response. Coming up next, Grover Norquist with Americans for Tax Reform. Joe Biden wants to raise your taxes. That would be disastrous. We'll discuss.
Missed anything from the show? Subscribe to Dana's Daily Podcast by subscribing on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever podcasts are available.
The middle class and working folks have been left behind. Go back to your old neighborhoods. Go back to your neighborhoods. Ask yourself the question. For the first time in the life of anyone in this room, no matter how old you are, America is no longer as the wealthiest middle class in the world. We're no longer the wealthiest. How many of you did really well with that $1.9 trillion tax cut that increased? Really in good shape, right? Really changed your, well, you did. Well, that's good. I'm glad to see you're doing well already. And I'm good. But guess what? If you elect me, I'm not going to have your taxes are going to be raised, not cut.
What? Is that supposed to sound attractive? That's Joe Biden, Uncle Joe on the campaign trail. I can't believe that anyone, especially after we have gone through this turmoil with the pandemic, that anybody could hear this and think that that is in any way attractive as a solution. I can't even imagine the consequences of raising taxes on Americans right now. And even with lower taxes with the Trump administration, the government still brought in record revenue. Someone who knows more about this than most humans in this country, Grover Norquist, president of Americans for Tax Reform. And he joins us now via Skype. Grover, always so good to see you. Such a pleasure. Thank you for joining us.
Dana, thank you. Good to be with you.
Good to be with you. I was really, really shocked at one of the headlines, actually from your website that I saw. Biden wants to raise the U.S. corporate tax rate higher than that of communist China. China's rate's 25%. The proposed Biden rate is 28%. That's disastrous. Give me your response and your take on these proposals from Joe Biden and how, are you surprised that this has not even been modified even in the wake of the economic downturn with the pandemic?
It's gotten worse over time. Biden is proposing $3.5 trillion in tax increases over the next decade. To give you some understanding of ratios, Hillary Clinton threatened $1 trillion of tax increases when she ran in 2016. So Biden, the moderate, is calling for more than three times as much in tax increases as Hillary did. Plus, Biden supports a gasoline tax, an energy tax, a carbon tax, something that Hillary's advisors told her to stay completely away from because they've seen the poll, quote, we've seen the polling on it and it all sucks. So Hillary wasn't going to talk about raising taxes on energy, gasoline, and so on. And Biden has already promised that to the left. So on taxes, he's way out there. You mentioned China. We used to have a 35% corporate rate in the United States, highest in the world under Obama. President Trump and the Republicans took that down to 21. President Trump wanted 15. We got 21. 21's good, lower than 35.
Yes.
Better than China, better than France, better than Germany, better than most countries. But what Biden has said he'll do is, usually he says he'll repeal the entire Trump tax cut. That would bring it back to 35. He said that a dozen times on TV. He once said, we'll take it to 28. So you could have it either way as to what he's promised. He's promised both. Both are higher than China's tax rate. Somebody looking to invest money would look at China and say they have lower taxes under Biden than the U.S. Maybe we invest in China rather than the U.S. Under Trump, you choose to stay in the U.S. You choose to invest in the U.S., not China.
Yeah, which completely betrays their desire to relocate so much of that Chinese-based manufacturing, bring that back to the United States, because it's that higher rate that initially contributed to driving all of these corporations to outsource the manufacturing in the first place. So his plan ultimately simply strengthens China, which is just a great optic to have, great narrative to have for your campaign in all of this.
Well, and just think of it at an individual level. Biden was making fun of that man who said that he'd gotten a tax reduction.
Yeah.
Almost every American got a tax reduction, not just that one guy. If you earn $70,000 a year, roughly average for a family of four, you got a $2,000 tax cut every year into the future. If you are a single mother earning $35,000 a year, you got a $1,300 tax cut every year into the future. 2001 case, $1,300, and another. If Biden wants to reinstate that penalty that Obama put on you if you didn't buy Obamacare, two-thirds of all the people who paid that penalty, $700 for an individual, as much as $1,500 for a family, earn less than $50,000 a year. This is a tax Biden is threatening to put on several million Americans, punishing them for not, they don't get anything for it. They're punishing, the tax is a penalty, is a tax, to because they forgot, refused, didn't want to buy Obamacare.
Unbelievable. You mentioned something that was very intriguing when you were describing his plan and comparing it to that of Hillary Clinton and how Hillary Clinton's seems, and I, of course, it would be 2020 that I would say this. This is the only time that this would even sound reasonable. Seems maybe more tempered than his. He presents himself as a moderate, but that's so incredibly key because that his tax plan, his economic plan, and so many of his other policies that he's proposed really speak to that far left Bernie Sanders base that he really needed to reach in order to solidify his support going forward for the nomination. So that position is one that he likely will not walk away from. That looks like that's here to stay as far as the Democrat Party is concerned.
Remember two points. When he first ran and people asked him, what about Bernie and so on? He said, with Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren in the race, early in the primary, he said, I am the most progressive candidate in this race. He told the world he was to the left of Bernie and Elizabeth Warren. Then when Obama endorsed him, President Obama endorsed Biden and said he is the most progressive candidate to ever run on a major party position, meaning he's not to the left of Angela Davis and Gus Hall. But you know, only Obama would remember that the communists run every year.
Right.
But for Democrats and for Republicans, yes.
Wow. And this is where we are. The most expensive tax plan from any Democrat in recent history is what CNBC has called this. How would this put this in terms that viewers and listeners across the country, Grover Norquist from Americans for Tax Reform, that they can understand? Say that we have, heaven forbid, say that we have a Joe Biden presidency. This is moved into place. What does that look like for the average American family in the United States?
It would cut in half your standard deduction. That's step one.
Gosh.
It would cut in half your per child tax credit. It would raise everybody's tax, marginal tax rate in the country. It would raise taxes for more than 90% of Americans. It would get rid of the alternative minimum tax. Many people found the alternative minimum tax one of the nastiest taxes that hit people. The Trump tax cut got rid of it. If you paid the AMT, you know what I'm talking about. It was going to hit 30 million people, but the Republicans pulled it back and eventually abolished it completely. All of those, the tax for failing to buy Obamacare, that would disappear. That would reappear, under Biden. There's a whole series of significant middle-class tax increases that Biden seems to be completely unaware of how damaging they are to middle-income people. But if you take a look at your tax return in 2017, before the tax cut took effect, compare it to 2018 and 2019, you can see the tax cut that you and your family got. That is what President Biden would take away from you every year into the future.
Which would be absolutely disastrous for a recovering economy. And we were discussing a little bit earlier how what this economic rebound would look like. There was the chairman of the St. Louis Fed that was saying they could see unemployment down below 10% by December, provided that we stay on a good path. And we've heard from the administration, there's a bunch of regulations, more regulations they're looking to cut. Economically, you had a list on Americans for Tax Reform of 565 regulations that have been waived. These are not necessarily economic regulations, but federal agencies, regulatory standards, et cetera, things that even stymie the ability to engage private labs to help process and develop quicker testing. Tell me a little bit about this, because it seemed that things just glided along so much more smoothly after all of these regulations were removed. Hopefully they'll never be reinstated.
There is legislation to make them permanently go away that the Republicans have in the House and the Senate, and I hope that we'll see the light of day. But This crisis are designed, and they've already the plans to raise taxes, would crisis go to waste? You have wonder why a Democrat puts good in front.
I'm going to have to interrupt you for a moment there, Grover. Well, now you're coming back in. You froze sure. there momentarily and turned into a vocal robot. So I had to pause you there just for a moment. But no, this and I'm so happy to hear that there is legislation that would make these permanent, because anything that would impede assistance or the ability for people to just get things done, get a simple test developed, processed. I mean, the idea that I will never get over the story about the lab and the medical researcher in the state of Washington, that was where the first cases, and they wanted to study these positive cases and figure out how this can be used not only for test processing, but potentially for a vaccine. And of course, the FDA has to get involved and say, no, because of regulations, you need to cease all work. Thankfully, she didn't. Thankfully, it was that nice rebellion, and that contributed to us being as far along as we are in this. Americans for Tax Reform is the site, ATR.org. Grover Norquist, always appreciate your expertise and your voice on these issues. And I hope that everything that is on this website comes to pass with this legislation that's in the House and Senate. I'm positive that we will be speaking with you again as we barrel towards this economic recovery. Thank you, Grover.
Thank you, Dana.
And take care. It's Grover Norquist, and the website is ATR.org, 565 regulations. So you all need to be making it known to your elected representatives and your senators that all of this legislation that would make these suspensions of regulations permanent, you need to make sure that this gets passed. A smaller government is a better government. And this is 565 is beyond, just beyond. We have a lot more on the way. We will get into some Today in Stupidity as well as we wrap up the show. And of course, we're still watching SpaceX. I love the showcase of privatization and in conjunction with NASA. But I love to see what Elon Musk is doing.
Head to DanaRadio.com for the latest videos, blog posts, and podcasts.
Man, I'm looking at a tweet that Josh Hawley sent, senator from Missouri. Woo. I can hear it in his voice. I need to learn how to do his voice, because he has a very distinct way of speaking, does he not?
He does.
It's very Midwestern, but it's I think that his vocal tone. Anyway, he goes, Jack, a few questions for you below. Bottom line, why should Twitter continue to get special treatment from government as a mere distributor of people's content if you are going to editorialize and comment like a publisher? Shouldn't you be treated like a publisher? And he wrote a 2-page letter to Jack Dorsey and released it on the Twitters. And he discusses Twitter's fact check, quote unquote fact check, and gets into the propaganda. He mentions, meanwhile, this is his quote from his letter, where has Twitter been in response to the outright lies and propaganda by the Communist Chinese Party and its so-called wolf warriors, busy blaming American soldiers for the start of COVID-19, Wuhan coronavirus, on social media. Will Twitter also fact-check these outrageous statements? What about the other candidates for political office, like former Vice President Joe Biden? Will Twitter editorialize regularly in response to his comments on social media? Or will Twitter only go after people its employees dislike? Instead of allowing viewers to look at the dialogue around the president's tweets and assess for themselves the merits of the president's views, Twitter decided to editorialize, appending its own comments and assessment to the president's speech. But editorializing is what publishers do, like the New York Times and Washington Post. Your company is treated very differently from publishers, as you know. Traditional publishers are liable when they mess up. But under Section 230, Twitter receives a special government carve-out that shields it from liability. That statute tells courts to treat Twitter like a passive distributor of third-party content. Twitter's decision to affix its own editorial content to users' posts brings into question the basis for that immunity. It makes little sense to treat companies that publish their editorial comments about others' content as if they are mere distributors. Companies that act like publishers should be treated like publishers. Section 230 should not treat Twitter and neutral internet service providers in the same way when they function so differently. Please send a prompt response by June 15th identifying the sources on which Twitter relied to decide to editorialize regarding the president's political speech. And please explain why you think that companies that act like publishers should not be treated like publishers. Sincerely, Josh Hawley, United States Senator. It's going to be, that statement was a little hotter than them burners on that rocket. I'm getting ready to fire off. Woo! So it does, that is the million-dollar question. The million-dollar question is it's their own, it's their, I mean, nothing gets them questioned more than inconsistencies. I mean, I said that on Twitter just, you know, the other day. So, goodness, how is this going to end up? Bum, bum, bum! We will watch. Today in Stupidity Kane.
All right, this is Dr. Vin Gupta, not Sanjay Gupta. Mm-hmm. But he's making the false equivalent. He's saying either you wear a mask or do you want to be on a ventilator?
What?
One or the other. That's what he's saying. Listen to this.
What I would say, number one, is it more inconvenient to wear a mask or is it more inconvenient to be on a ventilator? And the reason why I'm saying that is it's extremely like this virus is coming for us all, whether we like it or not. It's coming for us all.
What an alarmist. But yeah, no, if you don't
that's
wear
a false
mask,
choice.
You're not going to automatically
be on a
ventilator.
As if you wear a mask or you're going to be on a ventilator. That is an idiotic, illogical, false choice.
And it qualified for stupidity.
So tomorrow, I will entertain you with the tales now of Fartgate. It's the new gate. Everybody's talking about it. We'll discuss tomorrow at danalash.com.